Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you have joined us for the latest episode of the program, and we are getting nearer and nearer to the end of 2016, if you can believe it. This is the 69th episode of the podcast, and I'll mention this now, and I'll mention it again at the end of our program together, and that is that since we were quite release podcasts, if I could talk, they'd be a lot better, wouldn't it? Since we release podcasts every 2 weeks, you may be wondering if we'll have another one this year, and the answer to that question is yes. We are planning a release on December the 30th, and that will be a very special episode, and I hope to tell you a little more about that when our time draws near to the end today. I've got an interesting podcast for you. I hope you find it interesting. From time to time on the program, you may have noticed an emphasis that we have in our family on reading, and I try to read as much as I can. Of course, if you're like me and you like books, you know there's no way to read as much as you would like to read. There's always more to read. Solomon was right, wasn't he, when he said that of the making of many books, there is no end. And for those of us who enjoy reading, we see all those books in the bookstore. We scroll through Amazon and we think, wonder how many of those I can actually afford to buy. But I try to read several books a year, a number of books a year. I set a goal each year, and I've been lucky enough or blessed enough or whatever to reach and even exceed that goal the last several years. And so because of the number of books I read and things, I thought you might find it interesting to share with you just some of my favorites. And so what I want to do on this week's podcast is share with you 10 of my favorite books from 2016. Now, I want to give a couple of caveats to this list here. For one thing, I read far more than 10 books and still have a couple I'm working on that I may finish before the end of the calendar year, but I'll end up finishing somewhere around 83 or 84 books this year. I don't say that to brag in any way, but just to let you know that these 10 were chosen from a fairly lengthy list. I also want to share with you this caveat. I intentionally did not include books that were written by people in my family. I read two books this year written by my dad that obviously would be number one, number two, or really, I guess, 1A and 1B on this list. But you can go back in episodes of our podcast and listen to interviews with him about his books, God Give Us Christian Homes, and then Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? I'll include links to those in the show notes to those books, but I'm not going to include them on the list just, you know, for the sake of bias, I guess. It'd be really obvious that those would be on there. And the third caveat, I hope, is one that's very obvious, and that is I'm not including the Bible because the Bible obviously is number one, but also because I haven't quite finished reading it yet. I try to read the Bible through each and every year, and I've been able to do that the last several years, but I do read it kind of on a daily Bible reading, and so since the year is not done, I'm not quite finished reading the Bible yet, but I plan to finish reading it. And the final caveat, then we'll get to the list, I try to include books that are not rereads for me. There are some books I just find favorites that I read every 2 or 3 years or so. For example, The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey is a favorite book of mine. I reread it this year, but I intentionally did not put it on this list because I just enjoy the book so much. I read it, you know, every couple of years or so. I tried to only include books that I had never read before 2016, found very interesting, and I hope you'll enjoy this list, the variety of it, the emphases that you'll find in each of these books. These are not really in any order. The last book I'll mention kind of is number one for me this year, but other than that, really just kind of 10 books that I've enjoyed this year kind of stood out to me that talk about various things. So the first book I'll mention is called God's Game Plan by Aubrey Johnson. The subtitle of the book is Strategies for Abundant Living. Aubrey Johnson, when he wrote this book, lived in Peachtree City, Georgia. He has since moved to the Franklin, Tennessee area. He preaches for the Southern Hills Church of Christ there in Franklin, Tennessee. But this book was published by the Gospel Advocate just a couple of years ago. And the idea behind this book is that Jesus, of course, said in John 10 and verse 10 that he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And Brother Johnson simply wants us to understand how that we can have that abundant life of which Jesus spoke. The book is based upon kind of the illustration of football and how a team works its way down the field, but how as it gets closer to the goal line, sometimes it's more difficult to run its offense. And sometimes even as we grow in our faith, we can become complacent and have to work even harder to make certain that we're staying on the path, facing our goal, and so on and so forth. It's really written with the idea of being a class book, a Bible class book, but I simply just read it for my own personal devotional and own personal growth, and greatly enjoyed it. I mentioned it was published a couple years ago. It was actually published in 2013 by the Gospel Advocate, but a very helpful book and one that you will greatly enjoy. Very simple read, but one that will challenge you greatly. God's Game Plan by Aubrey Johnson. And by the way, I should have mentioned this before. If you're driving or running or something and can't write these down, if you'll go to the show notes for this episode, we will link to each and every one of these books so that you can find them on Amazon, if they're available on Amazon, which I believe all of them are, and that way you can find them there, find the links to them, not have to worry about memorizing the list. And the show notes for this episode are found at fawnfamily.com/POD69, POD69. So again, book number one, God's Game Plan by Aubrey Johnson. Book number two is a book by one of my favorite writers, Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's mostly a family writer, and this is a book that I came across, I had heard of for a year or so, finally came across it actually in a used bookstore, and was able to purchase it. It's called Be the Dad She Needs You to Be. It was published in 2014, and the subtitle of this book is The Indelible Imprint a Father Leaves on His Daughter's Life. And of course, I have a little girl. She is precious, and I love her dearly. I need to read books about being a dad, about to a son I have, also to the daughter that I have. And this is a book that really, really touched me. The whole premise behind this book, Kevin Lehman's book, is that a father's imprint on his daughter cannot be topped. If he truly is intentional, if he shows her what it means to love life, but also to love morals and to love being feminine and all those things that that we love about girls, that it will leave a mark on her life that she simply cannot get away from. Of course, we know that to be a biblical principle. The proverb, one of the most famous proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it, kind of underlines the concept behind this book. Lehman is an author I love because he writes very straightforward things, but in a very lighthearted way. He's very comical, but he writes about very serious things in a way that is not just in your face, and I really appreciate that. And so if you're a dad to a daughter, or maybe you want to get a gift for someone who's getting ready to have a daughter, you would love this book, How to Be the Dad She Needs You to Be. Book number three is another family book by Willard Harvey. You're probably most familiar with his book, His Needs, Her Needs, but this is a book that's more recent than that by Willard Harvey, and it has a similar title, but a different emphasis. It's called He Wins, She Wins. And this book was recommended to me, ironically, by Aubrey Johnson, that I mentioned earlier in the podcast. This book came out also in 2013. And the idea behind this book is that marriages are going to have conflict. There are going to be times where marriages where the husband and wife do not see the same page or not seeing the same way. And so the subtitle of this book is Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. How to make certain that I don't win and she loses, or she doesn't win and I lose, but how to seek those goals where each of us wins, where we both win, and in reality, where the marriage wins when we're facing a conflict. It's going to happen. I love what is written on the back of the book. At the top of the back of the book is this statement: every conflict in your marriage is an opportunity to fall more deeply in love. Now, most of us don't think of it that way, but if you'll read this book and try to take its principles to heart, you'll understand why he says that. So, He Wins, She Wins by Willard Harvey. I will suggest, if you've never read His Needs, Her Needs, I would read that book first, but if you have and you kind of like his writing, you will greatly enjoy this book. The fourth book is a history book. I try to read several history books each year. I majored in history in college. I tell people that's why I'm so boring. But this book is called The Worst Hard Time by Timothy Egan. I believe it's how it's pronounced, E-G-A-N. The Worst Hard Time. This book is about the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. And it's an era of American history that, frankly, I did not know that much about. But I came across this book, again, a used bookstore, and I thought, why not? We'll pick up something about the Dust Bowl here, since I don't know much about it. I loved the book. Now, it's depressing to read about the Dust Bowl, but the way Egan writes about it is one of those things that it's very historical. He has obviously done his homework, but he also includes so many things from people's own diaries and writings, and so it becomes very personal. You kind of find yourself seeing people in your mind as you're reading these things. And if you're not familiar with the Dust Bowl time in American history in the 1930s and so forth, this book is very much worth your read. It's not a very long book, just a couple of hundred pages, but a book that really does a good job of walking through both the facts about what happened in Oklahoma and the surrounding areas, but also some of the personalities, the people involved in that time. The Worst Hard Time by Timothy Egan. Book number five is kind of an odd book as far as including on this list, but it's called Faith Responding to Jesus. It is actually the 2015 Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies lectureship book. And I wanted to highlight this book, number one, because I greatly enjoyed it. But when you hear the phrase lectureship book, you may think, oh boy, here we go, a whole bunch of long articles about some deep subjects that I don't understand. Well, a couple of years ago, in 2014, Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies, which, by the way, is located in Knoxville, Tennessee, began to release their lectureship books in more of a class book format, and their plan is to do that at least through 2018. And as I said, this is the 2015 book, and it's on faith. The way this book is laid out is it contains 27 chapters, and each one is written in class format. There's a short introduction after writing the text that is under discussion. Then a section usually called the heart of the message, which is just simply some things that are we might call gleanings from the text, some things you learn from the text or about the subject. And then some messages for today, what are some points of application, some things that make this come alive in our day, in our life. And then usually some discussion questions. And each chapter is written by a different member of the Lord's church. And this is a wonderful little book. I am hoping to use this in a class setting sometime in the near future. I also have the 2016 book. I've just not had a chance to read it yet. But if you're not familiar with these books from Southeast Institute, I highly recommend at least this one that I have read, Faith Responding to Jesus, the Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies 2015 lectureship book. The next book is a leadership book. I try to read several books on leadership each year. It is called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. This is, I believe, the second book by Lencioni that I've read. I really like his straightforward style, and I will warn you, there is some language in this book, because what Lencioni does is he writes about these dysfunctions that happen in team leadership in the corporate world. But he does so, in fact, the subtitle of the book is a leadership fable. He does it in a story form, narrative form. And so he makes a couple of the characters in the story, let's just say, somewhat colorful. But the idea simply is that as a team, as a leadership team, there are certain things that that team will not overcome unless they acknowledge that they are there and seek to find the solutions to them. I will not give them away because I want you to read the book. But for example, one of them is a fear of conflict. Many leadership teams are afraid of conflict, that everything just goes well, and if anything bad comes up, we'll just act as if it's not there. Well, that's unhealthy to the organization. There is a great deal here for church leadership as well, and I think it's a book, again, some warnings, some caveats here. There's some language in the book, but it is a helpful leadership book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. The next book is a book written by Tom Rainer, and it is called I Will, Nine Traits of the Outwardly Focused Christian. It's actually a follow-up book to a book that he wrote a couple of years ago about becoming a Christian. Of course, we would disagree on how one becomes a Christian. But this book was written in 2005, and it basically is a book that says, if I am a Christian, there are certain things that I will do, and they are very straightforward. I don't want to give away all of them, but here are just a few. I will worship with others, he writes. One of the chapters is, I will give generously. The most helpful chapter to me is one that says, I will avoid the traps of churchianity. And what he means by that is that I will seek to honor Christ and his church, not just seek to build the church the way I think it needs to look. It's a very short read, barely over 100 pages in a very small format. You could actually read the book in one sitting if you wanted to. I tried to read just a couple of chapters at a time and kind of let them sink in. But a wonderful little book, I Will. Every church leader, I think, would find a great deal of emphasis, a great deal of help from that book. Book number, what are we on? Eight, I believe, is called The Domino Effect. It was written by Brother Tim Lewis, and the subtitle of the book is Changing Your Life One Decision at a Time. It was published by Gospel Advocate just last year, 2015, and the subtitle of the book really does give it away. I don't mean that in a negative way, but it is the idea of when I make a decision, it's going to affect everything else in my life. If I make a good decision, it's going to make me better in different areas of life. If I make a bad decision, it's going to steamroll, or it's going to be like those dominoes that fall down one on top of the other, and that will affect other areas of my life. It's really a book about wise decision making. Again, it is meant to be a class book, and I read it for my own personal growth, but I do plan, hopefully, to use this in the future in a class. Just a couple of the chapters I think you'll find interesting. That we need to make decisions to God be the glory. That's the subtitle of that chapter, is God glorifying decisions. The one that frankly hit me the hardest was chapter 11. The chapter title is Whatever You Think, but the subtitle is Thought Purifying Decisions. Not just thoughts that are pure, but thoughts that help us get even more pure. But a very helpful book, and if you're familiar with Gospel Advocate's books, most of them run well over 100 pages. This one is barely over 100 pages, 118, I believe, or 120, I believe it is now. But a very helpful book, Tim Lewis's book, The Domino Effect. The ninth book, it was actually the first book I finished this year. Very short little book, a book you literally can read in about 30 to 40 minutes, and that was the idea behind it. It is called How Do You Kill 11 Million People? It's written by Andy Andrews, who is just a brilliant writer. You may be familiar with his books, The Noticer, or The Traveler's Gift, or The Final Summit, or some others. But the subtitle of the book is Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. Now, I heard interviews with Andy Andrews as he was releasing this book a couple of years ago, and he did not mind giving away how do you kill 11 million people, because it's not hard to figure out. The way you kill 11 million people is you lie to them. And the whole idea behind this book is if we, and by we he means several different groups, families, nations, and so on and so forth, if we do not believe in truth, or that truth really exists, or that truth really matters, then we can be duped into believing or doing anything. Again, a very short little book, but one that will really, really challenge your thinking. How do you kill 11 million people? That's nine of the books. Here's number 10, and I saved this one for last because it really was my favorite book of the year, in part because it was kind of a surprise. I didn't pick it out. Some of you know that once a month I meet with a group of guys, and we have a men's reading group. We try not to call it a book club because we try to get more deep than just talking about literary themes and those sorts of things. We try to make certain that we are applying the books to our lives, and most of the books deal with leadership or personal growth, about being men of God, those sorts of things. And someone else in our group picked this book out, and it's one that really touched me. It is called The Sender, and it's written by, and I may mispronounce the name, written by Kevin Elko, I believe, and Bill Bosse. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing those names correctly. The subtitle of the book is A Story About When Right Words Make All the Difference. And again, this is a book written in narrative or story format. While the number of pages may seem a little bit long, it's well over 200 pages, about 240. The book itself is very small, and it looks like it's about triple spaced. You can actually read through this book very, very quickly. But it basically is about a story about a football coach who gets very sick, and some unknown person keeps sending him notes and cards of encouragement, and it helps him work through that sickness. Now, I don't want to give away any more than that because I want you to read the story. This book will absolutely pull at your heartstrings, but it will also make you think about, am I sending not just notes, but just words of encouragement to other people at the times that they need them? When I know there is a need, am I taking the time to send words of encouragement, whether it's a card or a text or a face-to-face conversation or whatever happens to be the case? But again, the name of the book is The Sender by Kevin Elko and Bill Bosse. So there you go. My 10 favorite books of the year. There's a lot of other books I really liked, but I chose these 10, as ones to highlight. If you kind of missed that list because you're driving or running or whatever, and you'd like to see the full list, maybe to click through and find out some more information, you can find all those books listed at fawnfamily.com/POD69, fawnfamily.com/POD69. And we would love to have you click there and learn more about these books, maybe get them in time for Christmas if you're listening this right as it comes out, or to add to your 2017 reading list. I would also ask one request, and that is if you like me doing these book reviews, especially at the end of the year, let me know. This may be something I do at the end of each year or near the end of each year on the podcast. Just an idea that really, frankly, I had another podcast recorded for this week, and this idea popped in my head, and I decided to do it and to move the other podcast until later. In our stream sometime in 2017. But I thought this might be something that was helpful and encouraging, and we like to read enough that we thought it would encourage you to read as well. Again, in 2 weeks, we will be back with you. Have a very special podcast scheduled. I hope we can get everything together because hopefully all the members of A Legacy of Faith are going to be in one room, and we're going to record a podcast for you. Jeremiah Tatum, Amber Tatum, Jim Fawn, Donna Fawn, my wife Leah, and myself are all going to be together. We hope to record something for you and release it on December the 30th of 2016, getting ready for 2017. We hope this week's podcast has been encouraging and helpful to you. And until next week or next time, remember that your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.